I'll tell you, I've just been in Milford for 3 years, but bearing precious seed is amazing. I didn't know. I've got family. My uncle is a BPS missionary, and he's actually been in Milford for 40 years or so, and I've always heard of the ministry, but I didn't understand the ministry till I got there. I've got a 5-year-old son. Bearing precious seed in First Baptist Church, I pray will be the only church he ever knows. I pray it's home. And I've got a 3-year-old daughter and one on the way in just a few weeks. My son's pastor, Pastor Dutry, within this last year or so, we were able to see the Telugu Bible translated. The Telugu are people in India, and the Telugu-speaking people have never had a Bible. And it took 9 years to see the Telugu Bible translated, obviously we just don't print anything. It's got to be a good translation. It's checked, and we understand all that. Our pastor and 3 other men loaded their Bibles up, or loaded their suitcases up with Bibles in the Telugu language. 8,000 Bibles they were able to smuggle into India. Then we printed 30,000, and they brought 8,000 into India. I don't know about you, but I was excited. I was excited for my son. He could say one day that his pastor, for the first time ever, brought the Telugu-speaking language, brought them a Bible, stepped foot on their soil in their suitcase. I mean, that just is exciting. Imagine the first English Bible. Who brought that to America? I don't know. But I'll tell you who brought the first Telugu Bible to India. Our pastor. Took it in there and gave them out. 250 million people speak Telugu, the Telugu language in India, and all we had was 30,000. And you talk about a riot almost taking place. They're begging us to send them more. And we're able to print more, and we did send more over. But I tell you, that's exciting. It's exciting. I tell you that to know that our pastor brought a Bible over, and every single person he gave that to, it was the first time they had a Bible in their language. The first time. So our church rejoiced, and it's because of churches like you that support the ministry that we're able to do that. And so if you would open your Bibles to 2 Kings... I won't be long. I've got 15 minutes here, and I want to just give you something here. I'm gonna preach to you here in next service, but I just want to give you some good stuff. If you'd just allow me to teach something here this morning and show you what the Lord showed me out of this portion of Scripture, and I want to challenge your heart, young people. If you're here, ask God. Just be willing to give God your life. You know what's needed in this world today? Translators. We need independent Baptists that believe there's so many Bibles out there. We need somebody that knows what the truth is and is willing to take that and translate that and check that and make sure the Word of God is pure. We have a pure Word of God. I think the Indian people need a pure Word of God. Half of this world that doesn't have a Scripture, they have the right to have a pure Word of God. We need some people that understand that and that are willing to give their life. The Telugu Bible took 9 years. You sit in a room and you translate a Bible. You're not known, but you've got to be just willing to say, you know, Lord, my life is important to you, and I'm going to do whatever it takes. If that means my name is never known, I never get to travel, I never get to do anything but take and translate your precious word so the world could have it. It takes a long time. And so we need translators, we need missionaries, we need people that'll say, I'll give. We need strong churches. And so I want to preach this morning, or teach just this morning in Sunday school hour here. In 2 Kings chapter 22, Josiah, verse 1, was 8 years old when he began to reign. And he reigned 31 years in Jerusalem. In verse number 2, the Bible says, and he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, and walked in all the way of David his father, and turned not aside to the right hand or to the left. An 8-year-old boy did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. I tell you, if you're an adult here, I love you, but I'll tell you this, I really love teenagers. And I believe this, the teenagers of today are the future. The future of this church is the teenagers. The future of America is this generation that's being raised now. They're either going to get America through a revival or see God bless it, or they're going to be a part of this world and see God put a curse upon this country. But it's going to be the teenagers that do some great things for God. If you look back, and I'm sure your pastor has said this many times, it's always been the teenagers that start revivals and pray down revivals, all these great revivals that we read of. And in chapter 22 of 2 Kings, it was the same way. An 8-year-old boy caused God to look down upon Judah, and God found grace here. And the Bible says this in verse 2, that he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. He walked in the way of David his father, and he turned not to the right hand or the left hand. He was a good man. But I'll tell you what this good man didn't have at this time. He didn't have a Bible. Because the house of the Lord misplaced the Bible. He did that which was right, in spite of the fact he didn't have a book to teach him right. But what he did have, he had a mama that probably saw the Bible at one time, and read the Bible at one time, and loved the Bible at one time, and she was able to teach him for the first 8 years of his life. But it wasn't enough that his mom had the Bible. Josiah needed the Bible for himself. In verse number 8, the Bible tells us a great day took place, and Hilkiah the high priest said to Shaphan the scribe, "I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord." And Hilkiah gave the book up to Shaphan, and he read it. For a generation, that was the first person that read the Word of God. And when you read the Word of God, I want you to see in verse number 11, "And it came to pass, when the king had heard the words of the book of the law, that he rent his clothes." You mark this down. When the Word of God is read and the Word of God is presented, conviction comes from this book. Convictions come. We get mad at the lost world and we say they live in sin. Well, if they don't have the book that brings conviction, what do we expect them to do? If they don't know what right is, and they've never been taught right, we look at Africa and say they worship these gods. I believe India has some million gods that they worship. Well, if they don't have a Bible or a mama that had a Bible to show them what was right, what do we expect them to live? They live in sin. They live in darkness. Just like the children here of Israel, the Bible was lost. The Bible was misplaced. It was in the house of God, but it was kind of pushed aside. It was covered with dust. It was covered with... Unfortunately, if you read on, it was covered with products and vessels that were given to Baal. They were set upon the Word of God in the house of God. And the book, the Bible calls it here, the book was misplaced. But when it was found and when it was read and when it was given to the king, the Bible says he rent his clothes and conviction came to the king's house when the Bible was read. There's churches today, they don't build the church on this book. They've written books. There's different pastors that say, just read this book and it'll show you how to build a church. And what they do is they put this book away and they take another book and they build a church on another book. And it may draw a crowd, but they're not building a church. The only way to build a church, the only book that can build a church is this book, is the Bible, and the world needs this Bible. How do you build a church in India if they don't have a Bible? How do you build a church in China if they don't have a Bible? How do you build a church around the world if they don't have a Bible? You can't just send them an English Bible. They can't read English. And a Bible isn't something we just sit on a table and just say, it's here. No, it needs to be read. It needs to be found. It needs to be presented. It needs to be given to the people. And when that's done, conviction comes. Conviction comes when the book is read. If you look over into 13, now I'm just teaching here, okay? In verse number 13, "Go ye, inquire the Lord for me and for the people and for all Judah concerning the words of this book that is found." The book causes a relationship with God. You don't read before. Josiah walked with the Lord. He walked in the path of David. He did right in the sight of the Lord. But you don't find this verse until after they got the Bible. The book causes a relationship with God. It caused Josiah to say, go and pray and talk to an almighty God and find out what we need.
Josiah did right. Yes, he did right as his mom had taught him right. And maybe his mom had the Bible at one time and heard the Bible read. But the nation at this time, it wasn't a thing where they could go to the house of God and hear the Bible read. If you read in chapter 23, they go to the house of God and there were sodomites in the house of God. And there were women that were putting up candles and giving incense in the house of God. And there was altars set up for Baal in the house of God. The Bible wasn't being read in the house of God. But when the Bible was found and when the Bible was read and conviction came, people began to have a relationship with God. There's nothing that'll change a nation other than a relationship with God. Amen. Unfortunately, there were people that went to this church, went to the house of God, and they didn't even have a relationship with God. There's churches today, people go to church. They come in as you are and they leave as you are without a relationship with God. Why have a church? Why have a church? Why invest the money? Why invest the time? It's not about building a crowd. It's about building an army for God. It's about a book that causes a relationship. What are the book that is there in the world that will cause you to get closer to God? Now, I love books. I've read everything that your pastor has written, and I love books, but his books may have given me an appetite for God, but it hasn't done anything like this book has done for me. And I'm all about, I think Independent Fundamental Baptists ought to write more books. I think it's a shame we got to go to those that aren't in our camps to have to read their material and spit out the bad stuff, because most of it's bad, just to get one good thought. I think Independent Baptists ought to write books, but I think this, writing books is not as important as reading this book and preaching this book. I've heard it said, well, Independent Baptists ought to write more books. Why? We've got one. Pastor said, well, if it wasn't for some of these non-denominational guys, I wouldn't have books in my library. I'd rather just have one book in my library than a bunch of trash in my library. That's what happened in Judah here. They had a whole lot going on in the house of God, but none of it was about God. They had a lot of programs going on, and there was a lot of activity going on, and there was a lot of things happening around the house of God. There was a priest there. There was a scribe there. There were people working there. They were setting off incense there. There were sodomites there. There were things that were happening in the house of God, but none of it was about God. And the reason why is because they didn't have a relationship with God. Without this book, there's no relationship. How do you teach somebody God if you don't have something to show them? This is the Word of God. I think in America we've taken this for granted. God doesn't speak to us in visions and dreams. He speaks to us with this book. And why should we deprive half the world from God speaking to them? Your pastor will preach each week here. He didn't lay down on Saturday and get a vision and come in here and just share the vision. Hopefully he got down on his face and he read this book and he got truth. We expect missionaries to preach to people without a Bible. We expect a missionary to go around the world and start a church in a tribal country and start a church where there's no Bible. And we expect them to say, now go with your Bible, with your English Bible, and teach them and send them home with nothing. Could you imagine if you told your people, don't read your Bible through the week? We get mad if they don't. We tell them this, you come to church just to get a little bit of depth. Go home and have your real relationship with God. If we do it in America, then why should we expect the world to do anything different? Why should our missionaries have to take second best when it comes to training their people? What's happened is America has got so used to it that we don't appreciate it anymore. And that's why we can take a Bible and on Monday we can forget it for the day. And Tuesday we'll forget it. And it'll be Sunday when we say, well, I better pick my Bible up and go to church this week. There are people that are just thirsting for this book. They don't have the opportunity even to say, no, I'm not going to read it. And we in America, we don't read it. I want you to see in chapter 23... In verse 2, and the king went up into the house of the Lord, and all the men of Judah and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem with him, and the priests and the prophets and all the people, both small and great. And he read in their ears all the words of the book of the covenant which was found in the house of the God. They were involved in publishing the scripture. They were involved in getting it out. We've got the book. We've got the truth. It's in your lap today. Our job is to get it out to great and small, to get it out across the world. We've got the book. It's our job to publish the book. It's not Cambridge's job to publish the Bible. It's not Nelson's job to publish the Bible. It's the local church's job to publish the Bible. We preach local church and we teach local church. Then the local church that's got the Word of God ought to put it out. We feed Nelson and Cambridge, and what we do is the prophet that comes in, they can just take and print NIVs. Who's printing all these perversions of the Bible? We'll preach, no NIV, but the money we give to purchase scripture goes to print them. They're making money off our local church. They're making a living off the local church. We're part of peddling that false teaching and those false versions of the Bible across America. And it's not their job to publish the Bible. It's our job to publish the Bible. 30-some years ago, Dr. King got it in his heart from another man named Brother Frazier. It's not their job to get the book around the world. It's our job. And sometimes Cambridge and Nelson is moving faster than the church. There's something wrong with that. Before long, you won't find a New Testament Bible or King James Bible by them. They don't sell anymore. They say it's too hard to read. It's too hard to read because you've got to have the Holy Spirit to interpret it for you. It's not the place of the world to publish the Bible. It's the place of the church to publish the Bible. It's not the job of the world to preach the Bible. It's the job of the church to preach the Bible. They don't even know what they're printing. They don't even know what they're doing. They're just making a profit. Those Bibles roll off their press and it's dollar signs. Let one of your missionaries call Cambridge and say, I need 10,000 John and Romans. Quick. I've got people dying. They'll say, I'll send you a bill. As soon as you pay, you'll get it. And you'll pay for shipping too. Paul Pritchard, call. I need 43,000 New Testaments from Cambridge. They'll say, that's a dollar a piece. $2 a piece or $10 a piece. You know what he'll do? He'll have to hang up the phone and cry because he won't be able to get a Bible. But praise God, there's a ministry like Bearing Precious Seed that you're involved in, and churches around America are involved in, that when a missionary says, I need Bibles, we say, how many do you need? I want you to see in verse number 3, and I've got to close here. And the king stood by a pillar and made a covenant before the Lord. There's a commitment that's given to the book. In verse number 4, there's an effect that comes from this book. And this is one of my favorites in verse number 6. He brought out of the grove. Look at this. And he brought out the grove from the house of the Lord. The grove was in the house of the Lord. The Sodomites were next to the house of the Lord. There were women with hangings from the grove. They were setting up this grove in the house of the Lord. The book removes sin from the house of God. It removes bitterness. It removes pride. It removes fornication. It removes adultery. It removes a bad attitude. It removes a haughty spirit. It brings the gospel in. The book removes sin out of the house of God. Could you imagine if your pastor said, we don't have a Bible to preach from this week? You just pray, maybe one day America will send a Bible to us. You pray. And they go like that for years. And we wonder why the world sits in darkness. There are more people lost in this world today than ever before. Than all the technology, all the money, more people are lost today than ever before. I've got to close. Let's pray. Father, I pray you'll bless this Sunday school time. Lord, I pray that you'll challenge our hearts. Cause us, Lord, I pray, to draw closer to you. Be with us in the next portion of this meeting. Lord, I pray that you'll be upon me and help me to say only what you would have me to say in Christ's name.